roadmap for a return. The province preparing to reveal its back-to-school blueprint. The premier says he has every confidence in the world Ontario will be ready for September. Good evening. The government maintains its plan will be comprehensive and centered around safety.
But for many students, parents, and educators, there is already confusion over some of the first hints. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
Well, yesterday, Andrea, we heard from the chief medical officer of health that there are going to be new vaccination guidelines when students return to school. That has raised a number of questions. Parents are wondering, what does this mean for those under the age of 12 who cannot yet get vaccinated? And school boards are wondering whether they even have the legal right to ask a student if they've been vaccinated against COVID-19.
As Ontario schools prepare to reopen in September, the Ford government says it is almost ready to reveal exactly what the back-to-school plan will look like.
So the minister is going to be coming out early next week and rolling out that plan. It's a very comprehensive plan, and we'll make sure they're back in school at the beginning of September here.
But students in grade 7 and above will also face a new pandemic policy in the new school year that's presenting a challenge for parents and educators. Unvaccinated students who are exposed to the virus will be forced to isolate for a minimum of 10 days and need 2 negative COVID tests before returning to the classroom. Infectious disease specialists suggest there should be other limitations for those who choose to be unvaccinated.
We can think about different settings where vaccinated children would be allowed, where unvaccinated children would probably have fewer opportunities. And you know, those are probably extracurricular sports settings.
The policy raised eyebrows among school boards, which are unsure whether it can actually be enforced.
We can ask students, and we do ask students when they're coming into our schools and registering for the first time, have you had measles, mumps, rubella, all of those, tetanus, all of those kinds of vaccinations? There is legislation around that, that we are allowed to ask them those questions. But right now with the COVID vaccine, I'm not sure what the legalities are around asking about vaccines. Those are other questions that we're going to need answers to.
There are currently 330,000 eligible students who have yet to receive a single dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And yesterday, just 3,100 people in that age bracket sat down for their first shot. Education workers say if the province is going to distinguish between those who are vaccinated and those who are not, the government should be working to increase uptake.
Making schools, which are in the center of every community, into vaccine centers, sending people notifications, you need to get vaccinated and here's where you can go.
An effort to help students avoid isolation after so much time away from school.
And we've been asking the Ford government today, what about those under the age of 12? Today, the Ministry of Health says the guidance on case and contact management is still being worked on and is expected to be released soon. They say that guidance will address school-age children, including those under the age of 12. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. Families have a lot to think about between now and September as we wait for specifics around what the education experience will look like.
And for those with children who still aren't eligible for vaccines, the calls for clarity are growing. CTV's Janice Golding is live with more. Janice.
Hi, Nathan. Yes, ever since the chief medical officer of health discussed extending quarantine periods for the unvaccinated, there have been a lot of questions circulating amongst parents, particularly over which age groups would be impacted and why the government is making this call. Even though the province says different rules will apply to vaccinated versus unvaccinated students in the event of a school outbreak, there was no run on vaccine clinics today for kids aged 12 to 17.
She's making the decision. I would like to, but I want her to be part of that decision.
The province says unvaccinated students may have to stay home for up to 20 days, while vaccinated students would be able to return to the classroom after one negative test.
Personally, I don't feel forced. I think vaccination is the right thing to do.
It's like a jail here. And for the kids, I feel sorry.
I think a lot of the things that the government is doing is putting pressure on people to become vaccinated.
There's also some uncertainty as to what this means for kids under 12 who aren't eligible for vaccinations.
Because I have one vaccinated, one not vaccinated that's going back to school, so I don't know how that works for the younger one.
The Ontario Parent Action Network says it's a widespread concern.
Just confusion, you know, are we even... Which age categories were getting discussed yesterday? That's not clear to us.
What is clear, however, is that if young students who can't be vaccinated have to stay home for lengthy periods, it will be a big burden on many parents.
It's difficult because parents have to work. And then, you know, they're possibly having to stay home with their kids, so it's complicated.
The Ontario Parent Action Network says it would like the rationale behind increasing the quarantine period to up to 20 days.
I think parents really deserve to have the science explained to them step by step, that the CMOH is basing these recommendations on.
But at this point, many parents have many questions. The Ontario Parent Action Network says that parents with children under the age of 12 are at particular risk, so it would like better protections in place in schools, including better ventilation and filtration, as well as the use of high-quality masks. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Andrea.
Thank you, Janice. More than 94,000 vaccine doses were administered in Ontario yesterday, pushing the province's total to more than 19.2 million. Roughly 17,000 of those doses were first shots, meaning more than 10.4 million people are partially vaccinated, and more than 77,000 of yesterday's shots were second doses, increasing the number of people in Ontario who are fully vaccinated to nearly 8.8 million.
Also tonight, the push to bring medical procedures back online. The province unveiling its plan to address a significant surgical backlog. What that means for thousands of patients still waiting their turn. But first to the international indecisiveness around vaccines that's hitting very close to home for some.
A Toronto man traveling to Trinidad for his mother's funeral turned away upon arrival. CTV's Sean Lee Thong is live with more. Sean.
Well, Andrea and Nathan, imagine the frustration of having to take a flight while grieving the loss of a family member, arriving in that country only to be turned away because your vaccinations were mixed.
I just want to go home and bury my mother and take care of her final wishes. That's all I want.
Sitting over a table of documents, Alan Preddy does not understand why he was denied entry to Trinidad and Tobago, where he grew up, for his mother's funeral.
This is ridiculous. I'm here for my mom's funeral. I'm actually executor of her estate. And this isn't a vacation. I literally have to be there.
His mother died June 30th. Preddy and his siblings flew down for the funeral last week. They'd all been vaccinated against COVID-19. Each had negative COVID tests and filed their information with the government of Trinidad and Tobago. When they arrived in Trinidad, there was a problem with Preddy's vaccination record.
It was checked with the supervisor, and they found out that because I have a mixed vaccine, I wouldn't be allowed to go there.
Preddy had received a shot of Pfizer in April and Moderna in June.
We got our vaccines based on Health Canada recommendations. We took whatever we can get.
Just yesterday, Federal Health Minister Patty Hajdu said the government is working on a document that would allow Canadians to prove vaccination abroad. On the Health Canada website, they continue to recommend against international travel, and in a statement to CTV, they said, in cases where travel is absolutely necessary, it is important to familiarize yourself with the entry requirements of your destination jurisdiction. According to the government website of Trinidad and Tobago, entry to the country requires a negative PCR test that is no more than 3 days old, and vaccinated visitors do not have to quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks. Also, vaccines must be World Health Organization approved. While both Pfizer and Moderna are approved, there is no definitive recommendation on mixed doses.
Everybody I spoke to, they can't do anything.
Preddy is not able to wait 2 weeks because of work, and it would cost about $3,000, so he came home to Canada. Now he says he feels stuck, as he was very close with his mother.
None of us wanted to be there because it's not home without my mother.
But he is fearful that he won't be able to say goodbye. And at this point, the funeral for Preddy's mother is scheduled to possibly be on Monday. He's fearful that if nothing can happen before then, that he will be forced to miss it. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lee Thong. Nathan, I'll send it back to you.
All right, thank you, Sean. Meanwhile, some air travelers touching down at Pearson Airport say they're arriving to large crowds and long lines. They're sharing their experience on social media. CTV's Mike Walker is live with more on this. Mike.
Well, we spoke with a few travelers who have both arrived and departed from Pearson Airport over the past few days. They described the experience specifically when going through customs as overcrowded and chaotic.
Travelers arriving at Pearson Airport from international flights this week finding themselves in crowded scenes like this while in customs.
And it seemed quite like a manic situation.
Sean Stewart sharing this video and his frustration on social media after arriving from London, England Sunday afternoon.
There were no members of staff giving any sort of indication as to when people should move forward. And so everybody was self-regulating in that situation. And that just resulted in a huge amount of overflow.
Several travelers posting pictures of what they say was overcrowding and left them feeling uneasy. Angela Morrow arrived from the Dominican Republic Sunday night and says physical distancing was impossible.
A lot of the check-in kiosks were closed to promote social distancing, but we were pretty much like crammed like a mosh pit. I just thought, we're going to catch COVID in here.
Other travelers departing saying it took hours to clear U.S. customs. Katie Zapari says she missed her flight to L.A.
Talking hundreds of people waiting and three staff taking people through one at a time. I was very much concerned about safety.
Pearson Airport has decided not to separate vaccinated, partially, and unvaccinated travelers from abroad at customs. The Greater Toronto Airport Authority says it's working closely with air carriers and customs to get passengers on their way as quickly and safely as possible. But due to new government travel requirements, the international arrivals process is different from the pre-COVID experience and may take longer than passengers are used to due to additional screening and health checks. And that Public Health Agency of Canada guidance clearly states that distancing is not required where an airport is using a layered approach with multiple protective measures. That includes enhanced cleaning, mask wearing, and HVAC enhancements.
It felt as though it hadn't been logistically planned out by the airport.
Incoming travelers are required to have a valid negative test pre-departure, wear masks, and to upload relevant vaccine credential documents on ArriveCan. A spokesperson for the Minister of Transport telling CTV News, airport and airline workers are ensuring these measures are being upheld and that they will continue working with industry so that travel is streamlined for passengers and measures are respected to keep travelers and workers safe.
Now, the Greater Toronto Airport Authority is asking for travelers to be patient. Officials say the arrival process could take 3 hours or longer with the new restrictions, and that also depends on an individual passenger set of circumstances. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Back to you.
Thank you, Mike. We have to pack your patience. And Lini, will we have to pack our patience for this weather coming up?
Yes, especially for tomorrow. Not for the rest of today. We actually have a really nice Wednesday evening ahead. It's a little bit hazy out there, and the temperature is quite nice. We remain on the clear side. Unfortunately, we are looking at wet weather rolling through into the morning hours. In terms of right now, the Humidex with the temperature sits at about 25 to 26 on average. Ottawa right now sitting at 24 with the humidity, as well as Kingston sitting at 26 as we move along the lower Great Lakes. St. Catharines 26, feeling closer to 28. For us here in the Toronto area, we are sitting at the Toronto Islands 23, feeling closer to 28. 23 as well, 26 with the Humidex at Pearson. The overnight low at 18 with light winds. There is shower activity ahead for your Thursday. We'll have a full check on that extended forecast in the next few minutes.
Thank you, Nalini. Well, you may recall a story from earlier this year about door handles being removed at a retirement home in Curtis. Well, that effectively meant residents were trapped inside. Tonight, the general manager of that home is facing criminal charges. The investigation was launched in February at Whitecliff Terrace Retirement Home after complaints against staff. CTV News Toronto later obtained a letter from the home's operator saying a small number of door handles were removed. Today, 40-year-old Tawab Karimi was charged with 2 counts of unlawful confinement.
Looking at the newest COVID-19 case counts across the province, 158 new cases are reported today. That brings Ontario's total to nearly 550,000 over the course of the pandemic. 171 more cases are considered resolved, raising that figure to more than 539,000. And 4 more deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 9,325 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Here is tonight's regional breakdown across the GTA. 25 new cases in the city of Toronto and 19 in York Region. There are 15 new cases in Hamilton, with 13 in Durham Region and 10 in Peel. Halton Region has 8 new cases, with a single new case in Niagara.
At the final regularly scheduled COVID-19 update from the city of Toronto, Mayor John Tory said municipal buildings will reopen to visitors next month.
This will be done in a responsible and coordinated manner with the health and safety of residents, businesses, and city staff remaining our top priority.
Starting August 9th, some in-person counter services will restart at City Hall and Civic Centers while remaining available online. Meanwhile, the city is shifting its vaccination strategy to reach residents who still have not received their shots.
As of August 22nd, 5 city-run clinics will halt operations. They include sites at Carmine Stefano Community Center, Malvern Community Recreation Center, and Mitchell Field Arena. The clinics at North Toronto Memorial Community Center and the Toronto Congress Center will also close. Those changes will free up 700 staff who will be redeployed with mobile units the next day. Now, 17 additional teams will be launched on top of the 5 already up and running.
The highly transmissible Delta variant has become the biggest concern here in Canada and around the world. Now, Pfizer says new data suggests a third dose of its vaccine can significantly boost protection against the variant. The company says indications are that antibody levels are 5 times greater in people between 18 and 55 who receive a booster, and 11 times greater in those 65 to 85. The data has not yet been peer-reviewed.
Still ahead, how a COVID-19 vaccine resulted in a potentially life-saving diagnosis. The screening made available while waiting for your dose. Now imagine a drug test, but for an entire city. That's what federal government scientists did in several cities using sewage.
As CTV's John Woodward reports, the Toronto results show some disturbing trends during the pandemic.
There's a signal in Toronto's wastewater system detected by government scientists who analyze what we put down the drains to discover the drugs we're doing. And during the pandemic, we're doing more.
It's a urine test, but at the population level.
In Toronto, cannabis jumped by 27% in 2020 compared to 2019. Methamphetamines jumped by 48%. Fentanyl jumped by 207%, tripling to 4 grams per million people per day.
During a crisis, mental health issues are exacerbated. All of the issues that all of us were going through, also people who use drugs were going through.
But with a toxic drug supply, deaths are up too, by 78% to 521 in Toronto in 2020. One reason Wayne Duhaney makes these harm reduction kits at Unison Health.
It might be statistic, but I know their names. Like, grew up with them 40 plus years, some people. Yeah, so it definitely hurts.
One reason the numbers are going up may be because the illicit drugs are getting stronger. Toronto's drug checking service has found for the first time ultra-potent synthetic opioids 10 times stronger than fentanyl. The kits protect drug users from needle-borne diseases, but staff here say they're no substitute for a supervised injection site available in Toronto, but an hour away by transit.
We would really like in Northwest Toronto to have a much wider spectrum of services, harm reduction services, and right now we are extremely limited.
Ontario's health minister says the government has put millions into treatment, but the cap imposed on supervised injection sites remains at 21.
Fatalities are increasing, so investing more in mental health and addiction supports is equally as important in investing in physical support. So we're taking action on both.
Canada's wastewater survey also found that different cities seem to prefer different drugs. Cannabis highest in Halifax, methamphetamines highest in Edmonton, fentanyl highest in Vancouver, in a province where opioid deaths have prompted it to declare a state of emergency. John Woodward, CTV News.
26 wildfires have been identified across northwestern Ontario, bringing the total number burning to at least 157. There were scattered showers in the region today, but along with the rain came reports of significant lightning activity. Forestry officials expect more fires to start as a result. Premier Doug Ford visited the Wildfire Command Center in Thunder Bay today. He once again rejected calls to declare a state of emergency.
There's already, emergency orders put in place, so it's not holding back any resources. We will put all the resources we have. I won't spare a penny. We'll make sure we're there to support the people of northwestern Ontario.
The premier met with fire officials, community leaders, and some of the over 3,000 evacuees from First Nations communities. Ontario is receiving firefighting help from several other provinces, as well as Wisconsin and Mexico.
About 250 wildfires are still burning across BC, but there's finally a bit of encouraging news tonight. Only a few new spot fires have been recorded in the past 24 hours. and daily new blazes have subsided in recent days because of a lack of lightning. The wind has also eased, but Environment Canada has issued heat warnings for most of the inner south coast, and there are special weather statements for many other regions of the southern interior. To the Olympics next, where so far women have accounted for all of Canada's medals at the Games.
And now our superstar swimmer from Toronto has rewritten the history books, CTV's Lois Lee reports.
If it seems like Penny Oleksiak is making sports history almost every day, it's because she is. The 21-year-old swimmer glided to bronze in the 200-meter freestyle for her sixth medal to become Canada's most decorated summer Olympian. After the race, Oleksiak talked about the tremendous support she's been receiving.
It's really just fun to see them enjoying themselves and celebrating over in Toronto all together, and my family that's in Charlotte, they're celebrating all together, and all my friends are together, and it's nice to know that everyone's celebrating, and that kind of motivates me.
Speed skater Cindy Klaassen also won six medals, but in the Winter Games.
She's just such an incredible athlete, and she's just getting started in these Olympics, and so I'm very excited to see what she can do with the rest of the Games.
Oleksiak's former coach says the whole country can take pride in her success.
She's stepping up when it counts. She's doing it for Canada, and she's just someone that we can all get behind and really support and be proud of as Canadians.
A setback for one of Canada's brightest medal hopefuls. An ankle injury will prevent artistic gymnast Ellie Black from competing in the women's individual all-around competition.
Hurting it here is difficult. It's frustrating. It's upsetting. But, you know, I've been through a lot of ups and downs. It's just another one of those.
Canada hasn't celebrated an Olympic golfing medal in 117 years. PGA veteran Corey Connors wants to give Canada a new reason to cheer.
It's definitely a special feeling. Been fortunate to represent Canada a number of times in amateur golf and junior golf. And, you know, special every single time, but this has a little something extra.
And Canada will try again for its first win of the women's basketball tournament versus Korea. Lois Lee, CTV News.
Meanwhile, Simone Biles has withdrawn from another event, Thursday's all-round competition, and the U.S. gymnast is receiving more support as she focuses on her mental health.
As with everyone in all areas of life, it's an incredibly important issue and one that's really finally come to the fore. Are we doing enough? I hope so. I think so. But like everyone in the world, we can do more on this issue, and we are, and we're really supporting the athletes in this.
Biles removed herself from the team final yesterday because she felt she wasn't mentally ready. The International Olympic Committee has now set up a hotline for athletes who need assistance. They are in 70 languages and will continue well after the Summer Games.
The spike in COVID-19 cases in Tokyo continues to be a major concern. There were more than 3,100 new infections reported today. That's a daily high for the second straight day. The increase is now putting pressure on hospitals in the city under a fourth state of emergency. Governors of three regions near Tokyo will ask the government to declare states of emergency for their areas this week.
Here at home, the pandemic's effect on Ontario's hospital system has been extensive.
Now, the government is hoping to clear the backlog of surgical and medical procedures. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live along Hospital Row with more. Beth.
Nathan, people who have been waiting for a procedure during the COVID-19 pandemic and had it delayed may be able to get help sooner.
53-year-old Mike Mansour became determined to stop using heroin a few months ago after his partner suffered an overdose scare involving fentanyl.
I quit at the beginning of this year, and it feels like something that's going to happen more, just going to be more permanent.
Nerve-wracking, really nerve-wracking, because you don't know when it's coming.
Isabella Pileggi has been waiting 7 months to have her gallbladder removed. She says if it wasn't for the COVID pandemic, she was told it would have taken between 1 and 2 months.
Our healthcare system should have been prepared to deal with every major health issue. I mean, I know people who have cancer that can't get into a hospital. I know, like, my mother is supposed to have kidney surgery, and she doesn't know when she's having it.
The Ontario government is now investing up to $324 million to help clear the backlog, in May surpassing 250,000 procedures. The money will go towards performing more surgeries, MRIs, and CT scans.
This plan will enable Ontario's hospitals and community providers to operate at 110 to 115% capacity.
The government says the plan will allow the system to do up to 67,000 surgeries and procedures and 135,000 more diagnostic imaging hours. In Bowmanville, although after the recommended time frame, Charlie Lefebvre was able to get one of two surgeries for webbing on his fingers at SickKids Hospital. His family hopes the money to reduce delays will speed up the second surgery so he can have the best chance at development. Pileggi's surgery is scheduled for Friday. She hopes the money helps others.
And I'm glad to see that they're putting money into it. There's not one day since I've been diagnosed with this that I haven't had discomfort.
The government says 76% of patients who were waitlisted for required surgeries between March 1st, 2020 and March 1st, 2021 got the care they need. A new push now on to help those still waiting.
Health Minister Christine Elliott says 99.3% of the most urgent surgeries were completed. She says this new plan includes procedures being done on evenings and weekends. Reporting live from Hospital Row, I'm Beth McDonnell. Back to you.
All right, thank you, Beth. To a story next about a man who went in for a life-saving vaccine and ended up with a life-saving diagnosis.
All thanks to a pop-up clinic set up to screen for a potentially fatal liver disease. CTV's Natalie Johnson has more.
53-year-old Mike Mansour became determined to stop using heroin a few months ago after his partner suffered an overdose scare involving fentanyl.
I quit at the beginning of this year, and it feels like something that's going to happen more, it's going to be more permanent. So I decided that's probably the best time to start treating myself well.
Part of that process involved coming to this CAMH vaccine clinic to get immunized against COVID-19. And while he was there, he was offered a quick screening for hepatitis C.
It's as straightforward as it can be.
This is a hepatitis C antibody test.
In a small booth tucked away within the immunization clinic.
I'm going to take that drop of blood and put it in the vial there.
The UHN's Viral Hepatitis Care Network is offering people who have come in for a COVID vaccine a rapid test to help diagnose hep C, a silent killer that can lead to liver failure or cancer.
By the time you develop symptoms from hepatitis C, it's usually very late in the disease course, and we want to identify people much, much earlier so we can give them curative treatments.
Since this pop-up clinic launched in mid-May, it has screened more than 2,000 people, 26 of whom have tested positive for hep C exposure.
The results of this rapid antibody test are available in just 5 minutes, which is convenient for anyone who has had the screening done after their COVID-19 vaccine, because they have to wait here anyway for 15 minutes after their shot.
Point-of-care testing really allows us to do screening for hepatitis C in non-traditional settings. And this really allows us to bring screening to people who may otherwise have barriers to traditional healthcare settings.
For Mike Mansour, the pop-up was the push he needed to get the test and now the treatment.
I want to start treating myself well, so I start with you know, taking the most obvious route, which is to get rid of my hep C, infection.
He is now on medication that he says will save his life. Natalie Johnson, CTV News.
Still ahead, persevering through a pandemic while maintaining perfect grades. We break down the remarkable achievement during an incredibly difficult school year.
Well, we have a quiet evening ahead. Unfortunately, active weather on the way for tomorrow in the form of showers into the morning hours. The daytime high at 22 will feel closer to 27 with that humidity. We have the sunset tomorrow at 8:43. We'll start to clear out by the evening hours. Here's a look right now at temperatures across the GTA. We're right now sitting at 23 degrees for Richmond Hill, Uxbridge, Oshawa, as well as Toronto. With the Humidex, it sits closer anywhere from 26 to 27 degrees. The rain tomorrow, we're expecting it into the morning hours, and a nice day on Friday. We'll have a full check on your extended forecast into the long weekend as well. Those details just after this break.
A masterpiece takes flight over the Toronto waterfront.
This hot air balloon is being used to promote a local tribute to one of the greatest artists ever. The 27-meter balloon features a reproduction of Vincent van Gogh's self-portrait with gray felt hat. Made in Europe, it has flown at hot air balloon festivals worldwide, and now it's at the foot of Yonge Street tonight and then again on Saturday and Sunday. The display coincides with the reopening today of a walk-through immersive Van Gogh experience in Toronto.
With Summerlicious canceled because of COVID-19, the city's planning a different event this year to celebrate Toronto's culinary scene. The initiative is called Dine Together, and it's aimed at boosting the local recovery from the pandemic. Participating restaurants will have feature menus ranging from $15 to $50 per person, and they'll be available for takeout, delivery, or in-person dining. Dine Together runs from September 17th through October 3rd. Sounds good.
Sounds good. And a lot of people these days are dining outside because of the weather. And yes. Let's hope those who are on a patio won't need their umbrella or have an umbrella on the patio.
Not this evening. Actually, I'm going to a patio after the show. So, yeah, I'm not taking the umbrella because it will stay on the dry side and nice and quiet for this Wednesday. We'll get to all of your weather details in just a second. But first, weather is brought to you by Train. For home comfort, cooling and clean air, it's hard to stop a train. Now, we've had, I would say, a picture-perfect day. Maybe it wasn't as sunny, it was a bit hazy, but we did have some sunny breaks. We had really light winds and just a very pleasant afternoon and quiet, and we will stay in that fashion into the evening hours. Actually, the humidex at about 26, 27 for much of the lower Great Lakes. This is our satellite radar. This is the forecast radar that we're looking at. So the cloud cover starts to build in for the morning. We are looking at showers. The timeline right now, this puts it at about 8, 9 o'clock into the morning. We'll see wet weather. That rolls through pretty quickly. The morning will stay on the rainy side. We might see a thunderstorm or two and just really unsettled through the afternoon hours. It does clear out by the time we get into Thursday evening and high pressure starts to build for your Friday. And actually, Friday is quite a nice day. I thought we'd just look at this heat map because you can see a lot of the heat continues to remain off towards well west of us into western Canada. For us, we're actually a little bit on the cooler side. Normally, this time of the year, we would see daytime highs closer on average to about 27. And over the last few years, when you look at 2021, we're actually the coolest so far. We still have a few days to go into July, but the average temperature so far has been 26. And over the next few days, we're a little bit below the norm. Now, right now, we're sitting at 23 with the humidex sitting at 26 for the GTA, 25, 27 through Niagara Falls. Tonight's overnight low, it's fairly pleasant. 18 is the overnight low, but really the major weather maker over the next little bit will be the shower activity that we have ahead for tomorrow. Tomorrow's daytime high at 22 will feel closer to 27, very similar daytime highs for the lower Great Lakes. And this is a look at the 7-day forecast now. Showers for your Thursday. Friday, we dry out at 22 with sunshine. Right now, I'm looking at forecast radar in terms of the timing for the wet weather. On Saturday, it's a risk of at 40%. The temperature sits at 21. And now we're looking at the possibility of some showers into Sunday. Right now, we're sitting at about 60%. The time... Andrea's looking at me. I'm really sorry about this. Monday right now, 23 with dry conditions, and that stretches until next week. So showers for your Thursday early into the day, and then a dry day on Friday with sunshine. That's a forecast.
Nalini, I'm looking at you with love.
Okay.
Also tonight, a magical experience coming to life here in Toronto. The new exhibit that will keep you guessing if you know where to find it.
An Ontario woman is trying to become the first transplant recipient to swim across Lake Ontario.
As our health reporter Pauline Chan tells us, she's raising money for equipment to extend the viability of donor organs.
My 21-year-old organ donor, who I don't know, he saved my life, and I wouldn't be here without the transplant. I'm forever grateful.
Jillian Best had a hereditary liver condition and got a transplant in 2016. Now she's trying to become the first transplant recipient to swim across Lake Ontario.
52-kilometer swim starting in Niagara-on-the-Lake in Queen's Royal Park and starting in the evening, swimming through the night.
Right now she's training for the 17 to 19-hour swim on August 3rd to 4th, and fellow liver recipient Gray Brett is there to help her.
So I will be in the water with her when she needs me the most, when she needs a little motivation during those difficult times. As transplant recipients, we want to experience life as much as we can. And what a way to give back to our organ donors by promoting organ donation and taking on huge challenges. Well, it's difficult to swim across Lake Ontario as it is. Jillian's going to be the first organ transplant recipient to even attempt it, let alone finish.
Best is hoping to inspire more people to register as organ donors.
About 90% of people are in support of organ donation, yet only about 20% of Ontarians are actually registered.
She's also raising money for Move for Life, a foundation that helps transplant recipients live active lives.
So the waiting was, you know, the hardest part, and a lot of people die in that situation, and that's partly what the foundation is all about, is reducing that wait list.
She's planning to complete her lake crossing at Marilyn Bell Park on August 4th. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Castmates and fans say their thoughts are with Better Call Saul star Bob Odenkirk after he collapsed on set yesterday. A person close to Odenkirk tells the Associated Press an ambulance was called and the 58-year-old had to be hospitalized. It is not clear what caused the collapse or what condition the Emmy-nominated actor is in tonight. AMC, which is producing Breaking Bad prequel series, has not commented.
You will be missed greatly, amigo. Those words from the bandmates of ZZ Top's Dusty Hill, who passed away. The 72-year-old bassist died in his sleep at his Houston home. The cause of death was not disclosed. Hill formed ZZ Top with guitarist Billy Gibbons and drummer Frank Beard in 1969. The Hall of Fame band from Texas went on to sell millions of albums and play to fans worldwide. Their many hits included La Grande and Sharp Dressed Man.
The Toronto International Film Festival has announced the films from around the globe that will be screened at this fall's event. Musical satire Dug Dug was directed by India's Ritwik Partik. It will have its world premiere at TIFF, as well as The Wheel from U.S. director Steve Pink. There will be North American debuts for Are You Lonesome Tonight from China's Wen Shanghui and The Other Tom from Uruguay's Rodrigo Pla. Toronto's COVID lockdown made many of the city's attractions disappear for months, but like a rabbit out of a hat, many are now popping back up.
Tomorrow, a long-delayed exhibit dedicated to all things magic will be revealed to the public for the first time. And tonight, CTV's Scott Lightfoot has a sneak peek.
From the modern day to the first performances, it is a trip through the history of magic.
Illusionarium is a groundbreaking mix of magic and technology, really brought together in a fusion to create this immersive experience where you're not only just watching the show, but you actually walk through the history of magic.
Located inside One Yonge Street, Jamie Allen's Illusionarium is a first-of-its-kind production from the producers of the immersive Van Gogh experience. From Harry Houdini to Doug Henning, there are artifacts and exhibits, holograms, and live illusions too. It is a production that was supposed to open to the public more than 7 months ago.
The city went into complete lockdown, virtually days before we were planning to open. So as a business, that's had an impact on us. We've kept people working, rehearsing, creating. But for the public, I think it's been a benefit because the show that we have now is so much more than the show that we had 6 months ago.
The exhibit was created during the pandemic and designed with COVID protocols in place, including magic circles, spaces that allow families or groups of friends to take in the performances safely.
We started to think about this 6 foot distance, this social distancing that we have to do, and which is a drag. No one wants to be 6 feet apart. Well, guess what? Being 6 feet away from some of the world's largest illusions is closer than you've ever been.
After more than a year of preparation, the Illusionarium will officially open to visitors tomorrow.
Well, you know, magic's meant to be enjoyed by an audience. It's meant to be enjoyed live. And up to this point, we've been rehearsing for months on end with no audience. I honestly just can't wait to see people's faces. At the end of the show, hopefully we'll have some jaws on the floor as well.
Tickets are available through September, after which the Illusionarium may just disappear. Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
The minister is going to be coming out early next week and rolling out that plan. It's a very comprehensive plan, and we'll make sure they're back in school at the beginning of September here.
Updating our top stories, we could find out soon what the province has in store for staff and students when schools reopen. No details yet, but it will include a new pandemic policy for grade 7 and above.
I just want to go home and bury my mother and take care of her final wishes. That's all I want.
Alan Preti was turned away by Trinidad and Tobago after arriving for his mother's funeral. The Toronto man received a mixed dose when vaccinated, which is not recognized by authorities there.
To be honest, it was nerve-wracking, really nerve-wracking, because you don't know when it's coming.
Waiting for surgery during the pandemic, the province is now spending up to $324 million to help clear the backlog. Officials say there will be 67,000 surgeries and procedures and 135,000 more diagnostic imaging hours. And that backlog in hospitals will take time to resolve.
That's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by co-anchors Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon. And you're talking to some chiefs of surgery at Toronto hospitals.
Yeah, on exactly that, you know, Andrea and Nathan, what is going to happen? How is this going to play out? How can they operate at 115% capacity? How can they perform all these surgeries? How quickly can they catch up? And clearly, we want to get into what the benefits are going to be of all of this activity.
And also, Rashmi, you'll have an update on a pregnant salon worker who continues to fight for mat leave with the federal government.
Yes, Nathan, we brought you her story 6 weeks ago. She was due any time now, and she is due any time now. She's not going to get mat leave because the EI benefits that she accrued went to CERB while she was in those lockdowns and unable to work in a salon in Ontario. We're going to try to get an update on her situation coming up on CP24 tonight.
Thanks, Rashmi. CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was up slightly to close at 79.80 U.S. American benchmark oil gained 74 cents a barrel to close at 72.39. And the TSX Composite Index gained 57 points to close at 20,230. The Montreal Canadiens owner says it was a mistake. Jeff Molson spoke today after his team drafted a player on the weekend convicted of sharing an explicit photo without consent.
I want to be proactive. I want to take action so that we can make something out of a terrible situation.
Jeff Molson says Logan Mayhew's actions last year in Sweden do not reflect the values of his hockey club. He insists there was no intention to harm the female victim when selecting Mayhew. He's been asked to not participate in training camp this fall. They don't have a lot of cash to spend, but the Toronto Maple Leafs had a minor splash on day one of free agency.
Frederik Andersen will not be back as the Buds signed a new goaltender. Carolina Hurricanes netminder Peter Mrazek has inked a 3-year deal with the Leafs worth about $3.8 million a year. He'll share duties with Jack Campbell. That means Andersen is not returning. He signed with Carolina today. Toronto made 6 other less notable signings. Meanwhile, as expected, former Leaf Zach Hyman is joining the Oilers. The gritty winger got a 7-year deal with Edmonton worth around $5.5 million a season.
After the break, making the grade and then some of Toronto's top students recognized for their incredible work, and they're just getting started. Studying from home during a pandemic certainly did not hinder these 3 students.
In fact, they are the best of the Toronto District School Board, each one of them achieving the highest score possible. And here's how they did it.
It's because of you, not me.
Oh, sir. I doubt that. You already had it. You just became stronger, smarter, and better.
Thank you.
An embrace of gratitude between teacher and student. 18-year-old Emir Dag moved to Canada from Turkey just 4 years ago.
And when I came here, I had no English at all. I didn't even know how to say hi.
But the inquisitive teen never stopped asking questions of his teachers at Burnham Thorpe CI, and his hard work paid off, graduating with a perfect 100% score.
I've looked at myself in the mirror and asked myself, I have everything that I need, a room to stay, friends, family. I had no excuse to be successful.
Dag is one of 3 TDSB top scholars. Refu Hossein says self-confidence and doing his best work equaled 100%. The Bloor CI top scholar hopes to make an impact on the world one day.
as long as what I do has some impact on some major world issue like climate change or global warming and has some impact on people's lives, then that will be a dream come true for me.
Since she was four, Catherine Hui has played the piano, telling CTV News it's a great break from studying. It would be easy to believe she spends a lot of time at the keyboard, but she credits focus and good habits for her success at John A. McDonald's CI.
I advise them to bring a proactive and curious attitude to the classroom and try to enjoy the learning so that you'll naturally do better planning your time. So use your agenda or a calendar and make sure you record all the important dates. And don't be afraid to ask questions because your teachers are there to help you.
Of course, all three students are heading to university this fall. Catherine, the University of Waterloo for computer science. Raifu, engineering and science at the U of T. And Amir, University of Guelph to study medical science and then off to medical school and eventually run his own hospital. Good luck, kids.
All right, impressive. What about the forecast, Nalini? What can we expect tonight?
Well, impressive for this evening, but not for tomorrow. Unfortunately, we have showers in place as we make our way into the morning hours at about 8, 9 o'clock. The cloud cover, the showers roll through, and then they clear out into the evening. In terms of the rest of Friday, will be quite nice, pleasant conditions. This is your patio forecast over the next couple of hours. Really nice. Still some sunshine with the sunset just after 8 o'clock this evening. Over the next couple of days, you'll see that the temperature a little bit below where we should be. Nice day for Friday. Showers ahead for your Thursday. That's a quick recap.
All right. Thanks, Nalini. Be sure to join Pauline Chan later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Reshmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Nalini and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.
Good night.